several years ago, probably around 2005, I was watching the Gene Scott religious program on local Los Angeles TV. I think this was at the time that Dr. Scott had died. You remember him? He was a crazy guy with the beard. I liked the Gene Scott show because there were no crosses on the set, and because he was a tough, cantankerous old guy who, you know, had all kinds of crazy thoughts in his head. He would dissect phrases from the Bible forever and all that. He was a mystic, hardly an apologist. He died, and his very attractive wife took over the preaching for a few years, but the show has generally faded. He still has his Jesus El Señor church downtown Los Angeles. Anyway, I was watching this program, and they have this band that performs, and it's a huge band. There's like 20-some people on stage, and it's a great melange of people. You know, they're long hairs, short hairs, old people, young people, black, white, whatever. And they were always fascinating. And they were up, and they were singing a song, and they were really into it. And I suddenly realized that they were singing a Bob Dylan song. And I hit the record button on my VCR, and I got this much of it. Thank you all. Wanna thank you all. Wanna thank you all. God is truth, I can't be upright. By his strength, I can't endure. His power, I've been lifted. In his love, I am secure. Bought me with a price. Freed me from the pit. Full of emptiness and wrath. With the fire burning in. By the blood of the Lamb. Saved. By the blood of the Lamb. Saved. Saved. Now I'm so glad. Yes, I'm so glad. Oh, I'm so glad. The last time by mercy I've been spared. Not by words, but by faith in him who called. For so long and I've been hindered. For so long and I've been called. I've been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Yeah, and I was startled because I recognized the song, of course. Now, I know that Dylan's Christian songs are performed, but I'd never heard one on television or anywhere. And I was very pleased to hear it. So I thought tonight, let's take a listen to the time when Mr. D was the property of Jesus. So we got to go back a few years, right? This happened in the late 70s. Dylan, in 1977, he was off the road. He was editing his film, Rinaldo and Clara. And he was being divorced from his wife, Sarah. And that was a major event for him. Exact figures have never been released, but Sarah got, well, one figure I read was 36 million pounds in a British tabloid. said 36 million pounds. So let's just make it dollars for the moment and say that Sarah got $36 million from Dylan in the divorce settlement, because he made a lot of money while he was married to Sarah. And Dylan's movie, Rinaldo and Clara, opened in January 1978, and it was a huge flop. He had spent a fortune on it, and it was a flop, and it got bad reviews. He went on the road, and he did a huge tour throughout 1978. It was worldwide, his first worldwide tour, actually, since the 60s. First, he went to the Far East, then he went to Europe, and he toured all over the States. When he was in Europe and in England, he was a gigantic success, made tons of money, and the papers, everybody just loved him. He gets to the States, and he's going around the country, and he's doing a big show deeply influenced by Elvis Presley's shows. Now, let's not forget that in 1977, Elvis Presley died. Elvis was one of Dylan's heroes, and that death was weighing on him. And here he was, just like Presley, going out with saxophones and girl singers, and he was doing this big show, right? 1978. But when he's touring in the States, the reviews are terrible. I first saw Bob Dylan in Oakland at the Oakland Coliseum on November 13th, 1978. I remember in the San Francisco Chronicle, there was a review of the show, and the guy said that watching Dylan on stage, he was reminded of a character on Saturday Night Live in which there'd be a caption below the character while he's performing saying, "Thinks he's Bob Dylan." About 3 days after I saw him in Oakland, he was performing in San Diego. And he told this story many times later. He said that when he was finishing the show, somebody threw something on the stage that caught his eye. And he looked down on the floor of the stage, and he saw a silver cross. And he thought to himself, "Oh, I better take that." And he picked it up. His girlfriend at the time was one of his backing singers, Helena Springs. And he asked her, he said, "I'm going through troubled times. This has been a very troubled year. What do you do when you get troubled?" And she just asked him, "Well, do you ever pray?" And that had never occurred to Dylan. He had a new song at the end of 1978 that he started to perform in the last few shows of that world tour that marks the first of the Christian songs. So even though this is the one that he released on Slow Train Coming, let's give a listen to that very first of the Christian songs. It's called "Do Right to Me, Baby," and the lyric comes directly out of Matthew in the Bible.
Don't want to judge nobody, don't want to be judged. Don't want to touch nobody, don't want to be touched. Don't want to hurt nobody, don't want to be hurt. Don't want to treat nobody like they wise dirt. But if you do right to me, baby, I'll do right to you too. Got to do unto others like you have them, like you have them. Do unto you. Don't want to shoot nobody, don't want to be shot. Don't want to buy nobody, don't want to be bought. Don't want to bury nobody, don't want to be buried. Don't want to marry nobody if they're already married. But if you do right to me, baby, I'll do right to you too. Got to do unto others like you'd have them, like you'd have them. Don't wanna be burned. Don't wanna learn from nobody what I gotta unlearn. Don't wanna cheat nobody. Don't wanna be cheated. Don't wanna defeat nobody if they've already been defeated.
But if you do right to me, baby, I do right to you too. You have to do unto others like you have them, like you have them. Do unto you. Don't want to wink at nobody. I don't want to be winked at. Don't want to be used by nobody for a dull man. Don't want to confuse nobody. Don't want to be confused. Don't want to amuse nobody. I don't want to be amused. But if you do right to me, baby, I'll do right to you too. Got to do unto others like you have them. Say like you have them. Do unto you. Don't want to betray nobody. Don't want to be betrayed. Don't want to play with nobody. Don't want to be waylaid. Don't want to miss nobody. Don't want to be missed. Don't put my faith in nobody, not even a scientist. But if you do right to me, baby, I'll do right to you too. You got to do unto others like you have them.
That's probably not the lyrics of the original version that he was performing at the end of 78. I don't have a copy of that right at the moment, but I bet I can find one. At any rate, because of actually, the entire band, or not the entire band, but several members of the band, the so-called Alpha Band that were playing with Dylan on the world tour, were becoming Christians in this time. This was, you know, these were the sort of hippie, born-again Christians of the 70s. And Dylan, through his relationship with his girlfriends, etc., found himself at the Vineyard Fellowship in Reseda, California. Dylan attended Bible class at the Vineyard Fellowship for 4 months in early 1979. They studied the Bible, they discussed the Bible, and Dylan tells it that there was a night when he felt the presence of Jesus in the room with him, and he gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He became a born-again Christian. Now, it's really important to remember that Dylan was raised a Jew, and, you know, that's very conscious when a Jew becomes a Christian. Basically, he started writing songs based on what he was learning in this fellowship. Now, the fellowship not only taught the Bible, they were also really big into Hal Lindsey and the late great Planet Earth, and Lindsey's idea that it was the end of the world. These really were the end times in the late 70s, and within 4 or 5 years, there was going to be a massive war, and there was, you know, all that stuff. Armageddon was about to happen, and Dylan embraced that thoroughly. He wrote a bunch of songs, and he said later that the songs were so powerful, they scared him. And at first, he thought he was just going to produce an album by Helena Springs singing these songs. But of course, his producers, his people around him said, come on, Bob, produce an album of your songs for somebody else. You should do this album. And so Dylan began to think about that. Maybe it's time to do an album. At around that time, he heard the song Sultans of Swing by the Dire Straits. He went to see the Dire Straits at the Roxy in Los Angeles, and he went backstage and met Mark Knopfler and asked Mark if he could play on the new album. He also got a hold of Jerry Wexler, who he'd worked with before. They'd actually produced an album together in the 70s, and he'd worked on the Doug Somm and Friends album that Dylan did in 72 with Doug Somm. So he asked Jerry Wexler to produce the album, and Wexler wanted to do it in Muscle Shoals down in Alabama. So they gathered the musicians together, and they went to Alabama. To Mark Knopfler and several of the other musicians' utter surprise, all the songs were evangelical. Now, evangelical means that you are raised up, your spirit is raised up because of the innate corruption of the human soul on earth. And you want to evangelize to raise up from the corruption of the earth. Dylan became evangelical in this period. Famously, he preached to Jerry Wexler. Wexler just looked right at him and said, "I'm a 62-year-old confirmed Jewish atheist. I'm hopeless. Let's just cut an album." And so the first day the musicians got together, they worked very hard on a new Dylan song called Trouble in Mind. This is Dylan's first song recording of the new world, of the new message. So you can hear there that swampy Mark Knopfler lead guitar. The guitar was so important. The thing that's important about that version of Trouble in Mind is that's the original. That last verse was actually cut out when it was released as the B-side of Gotta Serve Somebody. So, yeah. And, of course, that confused the people in the studio, and it took a lot of recordings. They worked on that song for one whole day to get that recording. They worked on the album over, I don't know, a couple weeks. They worked on it every day. They put a lot of effort into it. Dylan was embracing the apocalyptic edge of Christianity at this point. And the songs are dark. They're kind of scary. Here's Precious Angel, which is dedicated. I mean, this is a song he probably wrote for Helena Springs. But listen to the apocalypse in it as well.
Precious angel, under the sun, how was I to know? You'd be the one to show me I was blinded, to show me I was gone. How weak was the foundation I was standing upon. Now this spiritual warfare, flesh and blood breaking down. You either got faith or you got unbelief, and there ain't no neutral ground. The enemy is subtle, howbeit we're deceived. When the truth's in our hearts and we still don't believe. Shine your light, shine your light on. God has given to us, no man can take it away. We are colored in blood, girl. You know, both our forefathers were slaves. Let us hope they found mercy in their bone-filled grave. You're the queen of my flesh, girl. Torch up the night. But there's violence in the eyes, girl, so let us not be enticed. On the way out of Egypt to Ethiopia, there's a judgment hall of Christ. Shine your light.
Shine your light.
Shine your light on me. Shine your light.
Christian music that is scripturally sound, joyous, incredible voice. Oh, this is such great music. Incredible music. The message is deeper. This is the one called When You're Gonna Wake Up.
to be a fruit. When you gonna wake up?
There's Jerry Wexler, Muscle Shoals horns back there. When are you going to wake up? Now, I guess I need to say that, you know, I say I'm your faithless host, and I'm not based in Christianity myself, even though I was raised in a very Christian atmosphere, went to church many times when I was a kid. I don't embrace this as a Christian, like my friend Steve, who's listening and commenting as he's writing to me. But I love this music because it shows that there's intelligence and sensitivity in a place where, as I was growing up, I didn't find it. What I saw was dogma. I saw black and white. Now, Dylan's a bit of that there when he says you only got faith or disbelief, there is no neutral ground. That's because he's embracing this Vineyard Fellowship apocalyptic stuff, you know, end of the world stuff. But I love this music. I think it's one of Dylan's best-sounding albums, and I think that these songs widen our world. They take us somewhere that we're not used to. They widen what we experience, and they're beautiful.
When they came for him in the garden, did they know? When they came for him in the garden, did they know? Did they know he was the Son of God? Did they know that he was Lord? Did they hear when he told Peter, Peter, put up your sword? When they came for him in the garden, did they know? When they came for him in the garden, did they know? Speak in the city, did they hear? When he spoke to them in the city, did they hear? Nicodemus came at night, so he wouldn't be seen by men. Say, Master, tell me why a man must be born again. He spoke to them in the city, did they hear? When he spoke to them in the city, did they hear?
Thank you.
But he healed the blind and crippled, did they see? When he said, pick up your bed and walk, I must you criticize. Same thing my father do, I can do likewise. But he healed the blind and crippled, did they see?
In the Garden. This album was released in August of 1979. Now, for the preceding couple months, we had been getting advance word that Dylan was doing a new album. Good. But then we kept hearing that it was a Christian album, that Dylan had become a born-again Christian. I remember the first time I heard that, it was, huh? What do you mean? Bob Dylan, a born-again Christian? How could he do that? And by the time the album came out in August 1979, I was in New York City. I had moved to New York from San Francisco. And it was the first album I bought in New York City. It was Slow Train Comin' by Bob Dylan. And I was mystified, but I couldn't stop listening to it. And that's really the key. The songs have range. They're strange. Here's a song that basically is a children's song from the Bible called Man Gave Names to All the Animals.
Beginning. long time ago. He saw an animal that liked to growl, big furry paws, and he liked to howl. Great big furry back and furry hat. I think I'll call it a bear.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal upon a hill, chewing up so much grass until it was filled. He saw milk coming out, but he didn't know how. I think I'll call it a cow.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal that liked to snort, horns on his head and they weren't too short. It looked like there was nothing that he couldn't pull. I think I'll call it a bull.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal leaving a muddy trail, real dirty face and a curly tail. He wasn't too small and he wasn't too big. I think I'll call him a pig.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
Next animal that he did meet had a wool on his back and hoofs on his feet. Eating grass on a mountainside so steep. Oh, I think I'll call it a sheep.
Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning. Man gave names to all the animals. In the beginning, long time ago.
He saw an animal as smooth as glass, slithering his way through the grass. He saw him disappear by a tree near a lake.
What's he going to call that one? Now, I had read this story. Dylan had been sued in May of 1979 for defamation of character by Patti Valentine, who was a character in the song Hurricane from the Desire album. And he was giving a pretrial deposition in his defense, and he was asked about his wealth. And he had replied, "You mean my treasure on earth?" He was asked the identity of the fool in the lyric of Hurricane. And Dylan said that the fool was whoever Satan gave power to, whoever was blind to the truth and was living by his own truth. That was actually reported in the Washington Post. And so that pretty much was it. Dylan and God, it was official. Now, the last song on Slow Train Comin' is called When He Returns. It's a gorgeous song, and it's one of the greatest Bob Dylan vocals of all time.
Mm-hmm. It ain't no mask on the iron rod. The strongest wall will crumble and fall to a mighty God. For all those who have eyes and all those who have ears, it is only He who can reduce me to tears. Cry, and don't you die, and don't you burn. Like a thief in the night, he'll replace wrong with right when he returns. Truth is an arrow, and the gate is narrow that it passes through. He unleashed his power at an unknown hour that no one knew. How long can I listen to the lies of prejudice? How long can I stay drunk on fear out in the wilderness? Can I cast it aside, all this loyalty and this pride? Will I ever learn? That there'll be no peace, that the world won't cease until He returns. Surrender your crown on this blood-stained ground. Take her off, you mask. He sees your deeds, He knows your needs, even before you ask. How long can you falsify and deny what is real? How long can you hate yourself for the weakness you conceal? Of every earthly plan that be known to man, He is unconcerned. He's got plans of His own to set up His throne when He returns.
Probably Bob Dylan's greatest vocal in the entire 1970s when he returns. So the album was released in August, and it was immediately very successful. Of course, his last previous albums, Desire and Blood on the Tracks, had been huge hits as well. He was a superstar in the rock world, and the fact that he was a Christian and singing Christian songs did not affect his audience, not for this album. With a little preview where he went to Saturday Night Live and sang three songs in October, on November 1st, he began what originally was going to be a seven-day engagement at the Warfield Theater in downtown San Francisco, but the ticket sales were so good that they extended it to 14 nights. Paul Williams, the writer, actually attended every one of those shows, and he wrote a book in about a week about this and published it, Dylan, What Happened, which I actually picked up in before the end of 1979 in New York City, I found it. And on November 1st, he began his shows at the Warfield. And for the first time in his career, he played all new songs. He didn't do a single old song. Every song was about Jesus. It began with six songs from his backup singers. And then he came out on stage. Well, I have the bootleg that comes from the final night, November 16th, 1979, of the performances at the Warfield. It's called Contract with the Lord, and it is one of the number one bootlegs for Bob Dylan fans. And here is Gotta Serve Somebody from the Warfield on November 16th.
Somebody's landlord, give me even old things, but you're
Serve Somebody from San Francisco, 1979. Now, Dylan was met with contradiction because he was surrounded by born-agains who loved everything that he did, though Helena Springs has spoken about how if he drank a little wine, some of the born-agains would get on his case about it, and he didn't like that, and he was trying to be as pure as he could. And then he'd get the newspaper reviews and reports, and the shows were considered terrible in all the reviews. And he knew that they weren't terrible. When he finished the San Francisco two weeks or so gig, he went down to Santa Monica for a church benefit and did three shows in Santa Monica there and was surrounded by people who just loved everything that he did. So he started out on the gospel tour, taking this show on the road. He was met on the road with a lot of derision and a lot of anger because he wasn't doing the old songs. Here, for example, is a little piece of rap from a Tempe, Arizona performance that I found. This is Dylan rapping.
I told you the times were changing and they do. I said this is more in the wind than it was. And I'm telling you now, Jesus is coming back and he is. And there is no other way of salvation.
If you want to rock and roll, you can go down and rock and roll. You can go see Kiss, and you rock and roll all your way down to the pit. No matter how much money you got, there's only two kinds of people. There's saved people, and there's lost people. There is only one gospel. The Bible says anybody who preaches anything other than that one gospel, let him be accursed. Sometime down the line, you remember you heard it here, that Jesus is Lord.
Every knee will bend, he says. That's from Tempe, Arizona. Well, they toured into mid-December, and then Dylan took Christmas off, and he went home to Minnesota to his family, where he was a Christian Jew among other Jews for the first time. Then in January, they went back out on the road. They were playing towards the East Coast. And while they were doing this, Dylan had written a bunch of new songs after the Slow Train Comin' album. And they were playing them in concert. Again, these were all new songs. There were no old songs in this entire bunch. So during this period, while he's getting berated from fans yelling rock and roll, and he goes, you know, you can go see Kiss, go down in the pit. And he started preaching during his shows. He preached with evangelical zeal. He preached Hal Lindsey. And he did this all the way through this gospel tour. While they were doing it, it was decided that there was time during the tour to go back to Muscle Shoals and record another album because he had all these songs. The second Christian album is the one called Saved. Now, the interesting thing about it, if it isn't even more biblically oriented, the apocalyptic edge is there. But it's different. Something has changed in the Saved album. It was more about the joy of salvation. And on top of that, Dylan's habits as a recording artist for many, many years were to meet new musicians, go into studio and record an album quickly. he was now in a period when everybody was using 24 tracks and 68 tracks, whatever. They were, it were taking forever to record albums, and that just wasn't what he was used to. He wanted to come in and just knock it off. So in 4 days, in February of 1980, they went in and they recorded the new album. And there are like four really good songs on the album that are, they were fresh, they were new at the time they were recording, and these songs are the ones that come off. The rest of the album sounds kind of flat because everybody had already figured out what they were going to do. It wasn't new musicians. These were the same musicians. But there are a couple of really, really great tracks, so let's go to the very beginning of the Saved album. And
how many times have you heard someone say, if I had his money, I'd do things my way? But little they know, and it's so hard to find one rich man in ten with a satisfied mind. Once I was waiting in fortune and fame, everything that I dreamed of to get a start in life's game. Suddenly it happened, I lost every dime, but I'm richer by far with a satisfied mind. My life is over and my time has run out. My friends and my loved ones, I'll leave, there's no doubt. But one thing for certain, when it comes my time, I'll leave this old world with a satisfied mind. Born already ruined, stone cold dead as I stepped out of the womb. By his grace I have been touched, by his word I have been healed, by his hand I've been delivered, by his spirit I've been sealed, I've been saved.
By the blood of the Lamb, I'm so glad.
He's been saved by the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a fantastic song. And it reminds me, what does it say in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave the world his son. These are songs about so loving the world. And saved is just, it's got this emotion that is so incredible. Here are the other two great songs from Saved. Are You Ready? And Pressing On, which is one of the great ones, one of the really great ones.
Are you ready?
Ready. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Get ready.
Are you ready?
Ready. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready? Get ready.
Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you where you wanna be? Really know you.
pressing on. Yes, I'm pressing on. But I'm pressing on to the higher calling of my Lord. Said I'm pressing on.
My very favorite Bob Dylan songs, Pressing On to the Higher Calling of My Lord. Ah, what a great song. Now, they finished recording the album, Saved, in like 4 days of sessions. And in late February 1980, Bob Dylan appeared at the Grammys because he was up for Best Vocal for the song Gotta Serve Somebody. And to everybody's surprise, especially Dee's, he won. He got the Best Vocal that year for that song. Well, then he went back out on the road. Here he was getting awards, having a best-selling album, getting bad reviews for his shows, getting people jeering him and heckling him during the shows, and people surrounding him telling him how great he was. All this confusion that just can't help but happen to a person with a nice, healthy ego, right? Actually, Dylan, when he listened back to the Save album, he wasn't really very happy with it when it was done. He actually went to Columbia and said, let's not release that, and let's do a live album instead, because he knew that a live album would capture the feeling that he was going through in the shows. On April 20th, 1980, in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, they did a great show that was both filmed and recorded in 24-track stereo. And that was presented to Columbia as, instead of Saved, they release this. But Columbia rejected it. Here is a fascinating rap from that April 20th show at Massey Hall in Toronto. One of the most interesting raps from the whole tour, leading into the song, I'm Hanging On to a Solid Rock Made Before the Foundation of the World.
Man asked me on the street today, he said, well, if you believe all those things, he said, I just can't seem to love my enemy. That's a tough thing to do, you know?
Yeah.
That's an impossible thing to do, actually. Because the natural mind, you know, can't comprehend that. So if you're in the natural mind, you just can't comprehend loving your enemy. That seems like a foolish thing to do, and it is. However, the supernatural mind can comprehend that. So when Jesus says, love your neighbor as thyself, he wasn't exactly saying roll over and play dead. Actually, I'm going to tell you the story here. We were playing about 4 months ago someplace. It was at a college campus. I forget exactly where. It was Arizona, I think it was someplace. Is that where it was? Or, were you there? Oh, all right. Anyway, I read the Bible a lot, you know. I mean, it just happens I do. And so it says certain things in the Bible that I wasn't really aware of until just recently. And, you know, at universities, they're, you know, it's like they have a higher learning people there. They teach them different, like, philosophies. And so people, they study all these different philosophies. You know, with Plato and who else now? Who? Jimmy Reed. Well, I can't remember all the names, different Nietzsche and those people like that. Anyways, in the Bible it has specific, it tells you specific things in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation, which just might apply to these times here. And it says there are certain wars that are soon about going to happen. I can't say exactly when, you know, but say pretty soon anyway. And so, at that time, you know, it mentions a country to the furthermost north, and it has its symbol called the bear. Now that, and also, it also is spelled R-O-S-H in the Bible. Now, this was written quite a few years ago. So, it can't really but apply to one country that I know of. I mean, if you know another country, it can apply to Maybe you do, I don't. But then there's another country called, can't remember what the name of it is, but it's in the eastern part of the world, and it's got an army of 200 million foot soldiers. Now, there's only one country that could actually be. So anyway, I was telling the story to these people. I shouldn't have been telling it to them. I just got carried away. And I mentioned to them, well, you know, watch now, because Russia is going to come down and attack the Middle East. It says this in the Bible. And I've been reading all kinds of books my whole life. Magazines, books, or whatever I could get my hand on anywhere. And I really never found any truth in any of them, if you want to know the truth. But these things in the Bible, they seem to uplift me and tell me the truth. So I said this country is going to come down and attack. And all these people, there must have been 50,000. If there was one, that's right. No, I don't know. There wasn't 50,000. There was, I don't know, maybe 3,000. They all just booed, you know, like they usually do. They don't like them, just booed it. And there was a whole auditorium of people just, I said, Russia's going to attack the Middle East. And they went, boo. You know, they couldn't hear that. They didn't believe it. And a month later, Russia moved their troops into I think Afghanistan it was, and the whole situation changed. You know, and I'm not saying this to tell you that that they were wrong and I was right or anything like that. But these things that it mentions in the Bible, I pay mighty close attention to. So it does say that, talking about this man here called Antichrist, and we've had, you know, a lot of previews of what the Antichrist could be like. You know, you had that Jim Jones, he's like a preview. You had Adolf Hitler with a preview. Anyway, the Antichrist is going to be a little bit different than that. Evidently, he's going to bring peace to the world for a certain length of time. But he will eventually be defeated too. Supernaturally defeated. God will intervene. But you're still going to have to be aware of these things. And need something strong to hang on to. I don't know what you got to hang on to, but I got something called a solid rock to hang on to. That was manifested in the flesh and justified in the spirit and seen by angels, preached on in the world.
Love underworld.
That was April 1980, and the final shows were done, I believe, in Ohio in May of 1980. And in June, Columbia released the album Saved. It was the biggest disaster in Bob Dylan's career to date. It, after having several albums that made the top five right in a row, Saved didn't even make the top 20. Saved lasted on the charts for only a few weeks and disappeared. There was no buzz. The Christian audience wasn't big enough to make it a big seller at that time, anyway. Bob Dylan didn't have another top 10 album for 17 years until Time Out of Mind in 1997. Thus began, sadly, the retreat from the Christian music. Paul Williams saw all of the shows in 1979, but he could only afford to go to six of the shows when Dylan came back to the Warfield Theater in November of 1980 to do another two-week set there and begin a new tour. With Bill Graham's production help, he actually reintroduced the old songs back into the set. Paul Williams said that the six shows he attended, he said the first one was terrible, which was the opening night, but the other ones he saw were all magnificent. But he said there was no preaching, and basically the shows were not Christian shows anymore. That wasn't the atmosphere or the audience. As I have done in the show that I did called Joker Man, the secular songs began to appear then. Songs about women began to appear. Instead of savior songs, he was beginning to bring himself back to earth again. And while the shows were very definitely Christian shows in terms of the majority of the material, the change had begun. The gospel tour was one tour only from November 1979 to May 1980. That was the only time Dylan was the Christian. He didn't preach anymore, though you may hear an occasional preaching comment. In 1986, in Australia, he did a show, and when he introduced In the Garden, he talked about heroes, and he said, you in Australia, you might think Mel Gibson's your hero, but I have a hero, and he's Jesus. So Dylan was still embracing. He's never not embraced Christianity again. It's just that he's never gone back to the zeal that he had in 79 and 80. And that's the end of our story for now. Let's call this one Property of Jesus. This has been the Chill Room. Stay tuned.